Well, this has already been a very full and blessed morning, and one of the things for Sandy and I, as we reflected on the call to First Baptist Edmonton, one of the things that drew our hearts was the substance, the tradition, the richness of worship here, and it's great to bask in it. And so I'm not going to talk for 20 or 30 minutes right now. I'll be mindful of time because we do want to bless our Bolivia team and participate in that bake sale. Some of you might get the CBM magazine called Mosaic. And if you don't, it's quite a great little Baptist publication, Canadian Baptist. And many of you know Gary Nelson, who is the General Secretary of CBM. The theme of this mosaic, this quarter, is global discipleship. And I just want to read a quote from an article that Gary put in the mosaic this time around. He says, "When CBM talks about global discipleship, this is what we mean. It is a call to be a traveler, one whose life is deeply changed and altered, not just in the habits of church attendance and participation, but in all aspects of life. It is to do nothing less than what we expected of those we sent overseas for hundreds of years." Dallas Willard says that disciples are those who, intending to become like Jesus from the inside out, rearrange their affairs to that end under the guidance of the Word and the Spirit. So as we talk about forgiveness this morning, even as we reflect on last week where we talked about being ambassadors of light, love, and peace, I want us to also remember this big banner of us being called to be global disciples. And I celebrate with our Bolivia team. I'm so excited about what they will continue to experience as global disciples as they prepare for Bolivia. And we are partners with them in mission, aren't we? And so as we support them with prayer and finances and kind words and encouragement, we become these global disciples. It's not just this team of eight that are our global disciples, right? It's us, the people of God, here at First Baptist Edmonton. I appreciated Yvonne just recognizing that we, as this congregation here, are so much a part of the ministry that's happening there. And today, we really got this great glimpse of what it means to be a global disciple, of the partnership we have in mission with the Bolivian church. So being a global disciple means rearranging our lives for God's call on our lives. And even as we talk this morning about forgiveness, let's remember that it may rearrange our lives as we think about following Jesus and becoming apprentices of the Master. I want to make two questions about today's text, offer two questions and then one statement. And the first question is this: when we think about this journey of forgiveness, can we imagine that there is a way out? Can we imagine that there's a way out? And I really appreciated the Old Testament lectionary text this week because it is the salvation story of God's people being delivered from Pharaoh and crossing the Red Sea onto the other side. And I wondered, even as I thought about this idea of forgiveness, sometimes we can't even imagine what the way out looks like. If we were to pursue forgiveness and reconciliation, what in the world would that look like? And even if we put our imagination on and we think about Moses standing before the Red Sea, can you imagine what thoughts were going through his mind? In my practical sense, one of the thoughts would be, even if the water split open, Lord, I didn't bring the right footgear to make it through this slushy, sloggy, seaweed-filled, or whatever the basin of this sea looks like. I don't know what other things might have swirled through Moses' mind, but as he stretched out his hand, we can only imagine. And so I ask you today, can you imagine that there's a way out? Can you imagine that there's a way out? Let's read verse 21 and 22 again. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. The Israelites went into the sea on dry ground, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. This is our story. This is our story too as the people of God. Can we imagine that there's a way out? And God, through stories like these, says, yes, there is a way out. Secondly, I want to ask the question, if we can imagine that there's a way out, then secondly, will we walk forth into the freedom that's set before us? Will we walk forth into the freedom that's set before us? Once the walls of the Red Sea were on Moses' right and on the left, and on the right and left of God's people, they had this choice, didn't they? They could stay or they could go. And I believe it's the same way with forgiveness. Forgiveness, in a sense, is optional. We can not do it if we wish. The way of forgiveness could be right there in front of us, and we could choose not to move forward. But I want to remind you and myself this morning that forgiveness does bring freedom. A freedom from bitterness, a freedom from resentment, a freedom from feelings of betrayal, a freedom from repeated pain. Will we walk forth into the freedom that's set before us? It's reminiscent of the Gospel of John, where Jesus asks the man who's been by the pool for many years, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? God offers us this freedom. Jesus offers us this forgiveness, this grace to walk into new places. He says, do you want to be made well? And God gives us a choice. He doesn't coerce us. He doesn't shame us into pursuing forgiveness. But really, he does invite us. So the two questions. Can we imagine there's a way out? God says, yes, there is a way out. And then the second question, will we then walk into this freedom that's set before us? And Jesus invites us into this freedom. He invites us to walk this way of forgiveness. And so thirdly, I want to say that as we consider these two questions, let's remember that we are not alone. We're not alone. It's not up to you or me, but really, it's God who walks with us. It's the Spirit of God who empowers us to walk this way of forgiveness. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory, who empowers us to walk this way. If we continue to reflect on the parable that Jesus shared in Matthew 18, I think we'll find that it's a staggering story. And maybe we wince because we undoubtedly find ourselves like the unforgiving servant. And yet God continues to lavish upon us this love, this grace, this mercy, this call to be a people of forgiveness and grace. We get doused with God's forgiveness. So may we be able to dish out not just teaspoonfuls of forgiveness this week, but buckets full. When you think of walking the way of forgiveness this week, think bucket versus teaspoon. We are not alone. And this isn't self-help. This isn't just pull up yourself by your bootstrings, Dr. Phil theology here. I always laugh at Dr. Phil because he's got all this power and all this resources, and you know, if you finally make it to his show and he offers you help, well, I think you've got a pretty good chance of getting set up for success. If Dr. Phil's standing before you saying, are you ready to take that step with me today? I've got the resources for you. I've got the therapist. I've got the counselor. We've got a multi-million dollar rehabilitation center for you. I'm going to fly you there. Right? Well, of course the person, you know, is going to be pretty motivated to go. But it's not the same for us, is it? When we think about this way of forgiveness, we don't have a Dr. Phil who's providing all the resources. But I do want to say the Spirit of God is alive and well. And the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is available to us. And then we too, this is where community becomes so important as the people of faith. We're not alone because we have other people who are willing to walk with us through the joy and the sorrow of reconciliation or pursuing forgiveness. Romans 14, another part of our lectionary this week, where Paul writes, we do not live to ourselves and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. The so what of this morning's message is this. I simply want to again reaffirm the statement, the mission statement of our church. As I worded it to someone this week, I said, this is the elevator speech version of what we're about. We are about seeking the peace and well-being of the city. We are about seeking the peace and well-being of the city. And I'm convinced that a people who do that are a people who have forgiveness and this posture of humility and reconciliation as one of their core characteristics. So in closing, I want to invite you, even as we're praying today, during our closing prayer time, maybe you don't feel like stretching your hand forth, but maybe even as you're seated, maybe it's just simply turning your palms upward and inviting God to ask, to empower you to be this people of forgiveness this week. To be this people of reconciliation. Maybe God will call you to a certain situation that he wants you to pursue the way of forgiveness. Or maybe you already know what that forgiveness circumstance is. It's pretty obvious. So then, maybe during the prayer time this morning, imagine that there is a way. And maybe you feel like you're standing before the Red Sea right now and you don't know what that way is going to look like. But imagine that there's a way. And believe that God is going to show up and show you the way. So I'll just, as a congregation, let's have a moment of silence. Let's pray that the forgiveness that flows from us would be a forgiveness that has been received by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in the wake of this staggering, mind-blowing gospel message from Matthew 18, let's reflect on the gospel reading. I was particularly drawn in by verse 33. Should you have not had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you? Let's pray in silence and listen to God's challenge and invitation to be this people of forgiveness and reconciliation in the days and the weeks ahead. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy upon us. Amen.